I believe with all my heart that the Holy Spirit should lead the church. Amen? And because of that, I have an idea always. I plan, I organize, I make sure I have a plan. But on the flip side of that, whenever I hit on a subject where I feel like the Lord just says, hey, you need to stop and drive this into the people and make sure they understand it, then that's what we do. So because of that, I'm telling you that because I know initially I told you that over the next weeks we were only going to do 2 weeks on grace. Well, we're 2 weeks into grace and we haven't really made any headway yet. And that is because I have decided to slow down, and I may take the rest of this series and just talk about grace. I believe it's that important. I believe understanding grace will absolutely transform the way you think, the way you live, and the way you conduct life. It is. It's one thing to walk around thinking God is angry at you. It's another to walk around knowing that God is pleased with you and he has grace in your life. Amen? Amen? So understanding this, it becomes very important that you understand the contradiction between grace and your works. See, grace is based on the fact that Jesus came 2,000 years ago, died on the cross, and rose again for you and I. Amen? How many of you believe that? Believe Jesus came and died. When did Jesus die? When did Jesus pay for your sin? 2,000 years ago. When did Jesus come, suffer, and resurrect so that you could be justified in the eyes of God and made right with God? 2,000 years ago. Chances are I may ask some other questions during this message, and the answer will probably be 2,000 years ago. I'm saying that so you know what the right answer is. So when Jesus died 2,000 years ago, he made you righteous, which happened 2,000 years ago. Yeah, you guys are getting the idea, all right? So with that being said, we are talking about grace. And I'm just here to tell you, when you understand the proper understanding of grace, it frees you, man. It absolutely frees you. See, whenever I first got saved, no one took me aside and told me about the grace of God. So therefore, I thought that if I didn't live up to all these things that God has said and has and his standard, then I was not good in the eyes of God. And because of that, I was a frustrated Christian most of the time because I felt like God wanted this, but I was here, so God was angry at me until I got here. Now, the problem with that is every time you try and get there, there's another there you're trying to get to. So you end up in this works mentality to please God. And it's a works mentality that doesn't please God. And matter of fact, moves you further away from God. And I'll show you that here in just a second. But nevertheless, let's talk about what grace is not. Grace is not a covering for rebellion or willful disobedience to God. Everybody get that? And I say that at the beginning of every message I'm talking about grace. Grace is not a willful is not God saying, well, you can just live any way you want to. How many of you know you can't live like the devil and say you're under grace? You can't live like the devil and say you're under grace. Why? Because it is grace that frees you to live for God. So if you say, I'm under grace, therefore I can live any old way I want to, I would dare argue you are under the law and you've not been made free from the law, and that's why you're yoked to your sin. So you've got to have a proper understanding of grace to walk free from sin. See, because watch this. If I say, I'm going to not sin, I is the problem. I know it's not great English, but y'all get what I'm, you smell what I'm cooking? How many of you know you are the problem when you say, I am not going to sin? The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You are the problem. You are the problem with sin. Sin is in you. Were you born that way? Absolutely. Everybody was born with the propensity to sin. We were made not to by God, but listen, we're born after Adam, therefore we all have sin on the inside of us. Amen. Preach on, Pastor Charlie. Right? Jesus died 2,000 years ago for our sin. So we're not to look to ourselves to be free from sin. We're to look to what Jesus did 2,000 years ago to free us from our sin. Right? All right. So now, let's get into the real nuts and bolts of this. What is grace? What is grace? I gave you a definition last week. I want to hit on it again. It is the unearned. Everybody get that? Unearned, unmerited what? Favor of God. It's the unearned, unmerited favor. Well, I got to do this so that God will bless me. Unearned, unmerited favor. Unearned. You didn't do anything for it. Unearned, unmerited favor of God working in your life. Unearned, unmerited favor in your life. See, God's favor flows in your life either because you did it or because Jesus did it 2,000 years ago on the cross. See, if you think God's going to bless your life because you will always fall short. Because you can never meet God's standard. But if you think God wants to bless your life because of what Jesus did, how many of you know he met the standard 2,000 years ago on the cross? And when he did, he bought that favor, and now we get it as a free gift into our life. Amen? All right, so now get this. Check this out. Practical definition is God's life, God's power, and God's righteousness coming to you as a gift. God's, listen to it, God's life has been placed on the inside of you. Mm-hmm. God's power has been given to you. How many of you are thankful for that? And God's righteousness coming to you as a free gift. God's righteousness. Do not answer. Front row, don't answer. No one answer. Do not answer. Nobody say anything. If you answer, you're going to be the only one. All right. Are you a sinner or are you righteous? Don't answer. I'm going to answer that at the end of the message. But are you a sinner or are you righteous? Are you a sinner or are you righteous? Look at this. God's righteousness comes to you as a free gift. Not nothing, anything you've done for it. It's a free gift. You believed on him who died 2,000 years ago on a cross, and because you believe on him, the free gift that comes into your life is God's grace. You believe on him, and your faith, the Bible says, word for word, your faith is accounted for righteousness. You have a righteousness placed on you because of what you believe, not because what you do. But Pastor Charlie, I got to do it to make God happy. You doing it says you don't need Jesus. I seen something on Facebook this week. Please, here's what the label said. Please pray hard for so-and-so. Please pray hard. Please pray hard. I mean, what's that look like? Oh, Lord, I'm praying. Please, God. Is that what that looks like? I'm not sure what that is. Now, hear my heart. Hear this pastor's heart. Hear my heart. I know what people mean when they say that. I'm not silly. I understand that. But I want you to listen to the emphasis. I have to pray hard because God's old, gray, deaf of ears, long beard, looks like ZZ Top up there ruling, and I got to convince him that he should answer my prayer. ZZ Top, get it? Sharp dress, man. Anyway, all right. Come on, y'all get what I'm saying? I've got to commit. Listen to the focus. I've got to so that he will. Where's the focus? I. What is the grace of God? Free gift given by God, right? Because you believe what Jesus did on the cross. Well, Pastor Charlie, shouldn't we pray hard? No, not like that. Well, but the Bible says, listen to it, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's Ephesians. All right? I'm with you. Listen to it. Effective. You need to pray effectively. Fervent, with passion. Prayers of a righteous man avails much. You have to know you're righteous in the eyes of God. Righteousness is not what you earn. Righteousness is what you are because Jesus paid for it. 2,000 years ago on a cross. And you've been given it as a free gift, right? So now the free gift of righteousness, we pray in that way. You can either, I got to pray hard, Lord, or whatever that is. I don't know whatever that is, whatever praying hard is. Or you say, Father, we come boldly before you because you sent your son 2,000 years ago to die on a cross and shed his blood. And your blood paid for my access to you so that I have access to you and I can talk to you. And I ask that you bless them people, God. I ask that you heal their body. And I believe that you're a healer, so I thank you for doing that. I'm not petitioning God based upon, oh, I got to do it. I'm petitioning God on, Jesus did it. I thank you for it. God, apply that over there to their life. Come on, how many of you hear the freedom and liberty in that? My goodness, it'll take the sting out of life. It'll make it to where you'll fall in love with God because you realize how good he really is to you. Listen to this, lost connection. I hate that. Well, I don't know what's wrong with that thing. All right, someone on the web is like listening and they're like, what's he hating on the platform? My iPad just disconnected from the web or from the computer controlling everything. All right, here we go. Where am I? Okay, practical. Yeah. Okay, listen to this. Grace is the opposite of keeping laws and rules. It's the opposite. Because listen, if you say, I have to please God because I have to do this and I have to do that and I've got to do this and I've got to do that and I got to this and I got to that, where's the focus? On I. How many of you know you can't please God with I in the middle of it? The only way you can please God is by believing on what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. By believing on Jesus and what he did 2,000 years ago, it frees you. Get this. This is so important. You can either live like this. Well, matter of fact, next slide. Next slide even says it a little better way. There are two ways to please God and to be right in the eyes of God. Number one, by the keeping of rules, that's the Old Testament. Or by grace and faith in Christ, that's New Testament. There are only two ways to please God. Now look at this. This is Galatians 5, and I'm going to come back to that slide, but listen to this. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty to which Christ has made you what? Free. What has he made you free from? Everyone says sin. It's amazing. That's not the context. That's not what he's saying. He says, Christ has made you free from the law. The law, the keeping of rules to please God. God made you free. Watch, I'll prove it to you. Free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What bondage? The law. Say, Pastor Charlie, I don't buy it. Is that the context? Look at the next verse. I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ profits you nothing. Look at the verse before it. The liberty that we have in Christ, you've been made free, not from sin. You've been made free from the law. Listen, and don't be again entangled to that yoke of bondage, being tied up in the law, trying to please God through works. It doesn't work. Watch, next verse. So now I tell you, if you become circumcised, Christ profits you nothing. Here's what he's saying. No matter how you cut it, it never works. I'm just saying. Look, he goes on to say this. And I testify that every man who becomes circumcised, that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You want to please God by works? I've had people say, I had one guy come up to me and say, Pastor Charlie, came to our church. Pastor Charlie, I love your church, but I wish you would worship on the Sabbath. I knew where he was coming from because he said he was Seventh-day Adventist. He said, I wish you would worship on the Sabbath so I could come. We have a Saturday night service, by the way. At this time, we didn't. He said, I wish you would worship on the Sabbath because I want to obey God. I said, you do? He says, well, yeah. I said, that's great. I said, do you obey the Sabbath? He said, well, yes, every Saturday. I said, well, there's your wrong. You're wrong. That's the Sabbath starts Friday night at 6 and goes to Saturday night at 6. God always moves from darkness to light. He said there was darkness and then light. That was the first day. That's what the law says. The law says you start on Friday night and go to Saturday night, 6 o'clock. Start in the evening. Man, you're breaking the law. I said, matter of fact, you're not supposed to travel one day's journey in a car. You're breaking the law. I said, matter of fact, have you ever picked up sticks on Sunday? He said, yeah. What's that got to do with it? I said, well, in the law, that was the first dude that got killed. Well, he picked up sticks on the Sabbath. Don't you be picking up sticks. I said, matter of fact, do you keep the Feast of Tabernacles, Pentecost, and Passover? He said, no. I said, you're sinning. You're breaking the law. Matter of fact, the shirt that you have on, is it made up of two different types of material? He said, I don't know. I said, if it's cotton and polyester, you're sinning. You're breaking the law. By the time we got done, he said, I think I need to go talk to my pastor. See, watch this. Hear me. The law always demands of you to please God. Always. Why? If you hear nothing else this morning, hear this and some other stuff, but hear this. The law always shows you at a deficit. Always. That's the purpose of it. The purpose of the law is to prove you can't please God in and of yourself. How many of you know that? Everybody else is lying. All right, let's try it again. All right, how many of you know you cannot please God in and of yourself? All right, then you need a Savior who did. He died 2,000 years ago. But Pastor Charlie, I have to do something. No. You believe on Him. And when you believe on Him, your faith is accounted for righteousness. Watch this, hear me, hear my heart. And by believing on Him who justifies the ungodly, your faith has made you righteous, so you are now righteous in the eyes of God. And now God's free gift of power comes into your life as a gift and allows you to walk in the obedience to God, not because of fear of judgment, but because of love for His Son. Did y'all get that? I used to notice it. I used to preach the law. And I used to tell people, you can't. I preach hell hot, man. Your toes will tingle, man. I mean, preach it. And say, you shouldn't. And I realized one day the Lord just kind of stopped me in my tracks and kind of said, you know what? Preaching against everything they know they shouldn't be doing isn't helping anybody. Boy, that's deep. Sorry, I'm a little slow to the party. So then what is the fix? Here it is. The fix is understanding Jesus paid and took the law and fulfilled the law so that you and I wouldn't have to. But we believe that He did it so that we, by faith, believe He did it and we get all the blessings that it all brings. Our faith makes us righteous in what He did, not because we do it. Pastor Charlie, don't you live by the commandments? Listen to this. No. I don't consciously go around saying, thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not this, thou shalt not that. Thou shalt not this, thou shalt not that. No. You know what I do? I walk around going, I've been made righteous in the eyes of God. And His righteousness frees me not to covet my neighbor's wife, to steal, to do all those things. Are y'all hearing my heart? You getting it? Are the lights coming on? Can you send up a flare? All right, praise God. Praise God. Look at this. So now watch. If you want to keep the law and please God by works, which is, listen to me, Every religion in the world thinks you please God by works. Christianity, well, even some churches believe that you please God by your works. I gotta say that. I had one person between services say, Pastor Charlie, I've been in church all my life. This is the first time I've ever heard that God isn't looking to my works to make him happy. All of her life. And she's not in high school. Say it that way. Isn't it a shame when that's what the Bible teaches? This is why I said we have to slow down. We have to slow down. Over the last 18 months, church has doubled in its size, something like that. So I realized that some of you have never been freed by grace to live for God. And it's the most awesome thing. I don't wake up in the morning and go, man, I hope I can please God today. I wake up going, I am righteous in the eyes of God. And that belief allows me to walk in the freedom and liberty to please him. Not because I'm good, but because he's good and he fulfilled it. And I walk in Christ knowing he fulfilled the law for me. Come on, guys, isn't that awesome? It's freeing, man. It's absolutely freeing. Look at this now. Now, again, we're talking about this. Look at this. Stand fast in the liberty. Christ has made us free. He says, and don't be entangled again to the yoke of bondage, which is the law. Don't think you can be made right by keeping part of the law. If you're going to keep part, you got to keep it all, and you'll fail. That's what he's saying. That's what, and testify every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep all the law. Don't you know the guy who found that out after he had it done was mad? Yeah, he kicked somebody's tail that day. Look at this next verse. He says, for you have become estranged from Christ and you have attempted to be justified by the law. Watch this. You've fallen from the free, unearned, merited favor of God in your life. And every time you go back to works to please God, you've moved further away from God's unmerited favor. But listen to this. But the more you trust in what Jesus did 2,000 years ago on the cross, the more you move to God's grace and his favor. I'll tell you this. I don't try and grow the church anymore. I tried that for several years. I got to grow the church. Notice the problem. You hear it? I have to get out of the way. Why? Christ has to grow the church. Charlie can't grow anything. Literally. I do not have a garden. I buy it. I don't grow nothing. Y'all hear what I'm... But I grow people's faith, praise God, and that's enough for me in all that. Right? That's all I care about. Y'all hearing what I'm saying, though? The difference is huge. The difference is huge when you wake up tomorrow and you wake up and you go, what do I got to do today to please God? Stop. Get you out of the way. What did Jesus do 2,000 years ago to please God? I'm going to walk in that today. Jesus was crucified. Jesus walked in obedience. Jesus did all that. And I believe he did. Therefore, I'm made righteous. It's a free gift. Free gift. Free gift. Free gift. Look at this. There are two ways to be right in the eyes of God. By rules or by faith, right? Didn't we say that already? Right? Now, let me ask you a question. When did... When did the New Testament start? Okay? When did the New Testament start? Well, I know, Pastor Charlie, right here, page 1230, right here in my Bible says New Testament. That's where it starts. Sometimes I wish I could rip that page out because it confuses people. I'm being very honest. It confuses people. Let me ask you a question. Say you had a parent that died. When did the will take place and go into effect? At the point of, okay, we got three people saying at the point of death. How many of you know at the point of death, the will took over? Before that, there was no will. Okay, look, keeping the rules, Old Testament, this is the old will of God. Jesus comes, dies on a cross. As soon as he dies, the new will is in place. And the new will is righteousness by faith, not by works. Okay, I got like five. Are y'all here today? Praise God. I just want to make sure you follow me. I don't want to move forward because I'll drive a stake down and give you 25 examples of it. Are you with me? All right. Okay. All right. The longer I go, the hungrier you get. So you might follow. Here's the truth. You ready? Here we go. So now, Jesus dies. As soon as Jesus dies, the new will is in effect of pleasing God by faith, right? Now watch. Let me ask you a question. This is important. Because if I was to ask you this, did everything Jesus say, should you live by, your answer would be yes. And I'm going to ask you this. Did Jesus minister under the law or under grace? Law. Come on, how many of you know Jesus ministered under the law? The will didn't take place till he died. He died. 3.5 years he ministered, and he ministered under the law. So watch. Here's law. If you don't forgive people, God don't forgive you. Is that grace, unearned and unmerited favor of God, or is that law? You do good, you get good, do bad, get bad. That's law. Are you under law? No. Pastor Charlie, doesn't that apply? Not to you. Pastor Charlie, shouldn't we forgive? Oh, we should always forgive. Don't misunderstand the application. Here's the deal. Under the law, you forgive so that God forgives you. Under grace, I am forgiven, therefore I am empowered to forgive. Have you ever met people? Hey, you need to forgive. I know I need to forgive them. I ain't forgave them, but I forgive them. I need to forgive them. Right? I've had people, I've ministered to people. I need to forgive them. Why? Because I know ever since, 20 years ago, God hadn't heard any of my prayers because I didn't forgive them. Is that what you believe? Well, yeah. Okay, that's law. That's not what your Bible teaches. How's that, Pastor Charlie? Listen, here's what the Bible says. Jesus died on the cross. See, this used to confuse me. As a believer, this used to mess with me. Because here's what I would hear. God has forgiven you. All your sins are washed away. God has washed you clean. You're as white as snow. All your sins are as far as from the east as from the west. And then I would read this verse that says, if you don't forgive somebody, then God isn't hearing my prayer. Well, which is it? Messed with me. Then I realized, hold up, Jesus spoke that under the law. And had he spoke against it, he would have been breaking the law and wouldn't have fulfilled the law. But he didn't. He agreed with the law because he didn't want to break the law. Because if he would have broke the law, he would have been disqualified to fulfill the law, and then we would have been required to meet the law. But thanks be to God, he fulfilled the law. So we don't have to fulfill the law. Come on, y'all get that? You get that? So watch. Do I forgive people? Absolutely, but here's the difference. I don't go, oh God, forgive me because if I don't, or forgive them because if I don't forgive them, then therefore you won't hear my prayer. Because at the root of that understanding is self. Here's the difference. I forgive God. I forgive. Why? Because you have forgiven me of so much. You have washed me clean. You have freed me to be free from anything called unforgiveness. So therefore, I can forgive. They didn't talk to me. They didn't get me coffee. They were nasty to me. I can forgive that because you have forgiven me so much in my life, God. So that little bitty thing, I forgive them of that. That ain't even no big deal. Why? Because you forgave me 2,000 years ago for all that happened. Hear the difference? Aren't you glad he forgave you?
Yes.
He forgave you so now that you can be empowered to forgive.
Yes.
You don't have to work it up. Say, I forgive him. Praise God. It's all right. God's good. God's merciful. Come on. Amen?
Amen.
So I would rather please God that way. Now, check this out. Let's go into Galatians, and then I'm going to give you 3 points, and I'll send you home at some point today. But the scripture has confirmed that all are under what? Sin. That's the purpose of the law. How many of you know you're sinners? Are you? Are you a sinner? Or are you righteous? All have said, but the scripture, I know some of you are like, I will answer it at the very end, all right? I will answer it because some of you are like, I just got hoodwinked. I just got tricked. He told me not to answer at the very beginning, and then I just answered. Look at this. But the scripture has confirmed all under sin that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe, yeah. But before faith came, we were kept under the guard of the law, kept for faith, which would afterward be revealed. Look at this. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to what? To Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Absolutely. But after faith comes, now we are no longer under the tutor. You're not under the law. I got to do this to please God. No, Jesus pleased God. Jesus did it. So let me give you some things about the law. If you're going to live by the law, here's what you need to know. The law makes all guilty and increases the knowledge of sin. Absolutely every time. Look at this. For we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. All the world may become guilty before God. That's the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law is to make you guilty. To make you guilty. It makes all guilty. Let me give you an example of this, two different ways. Number one, how many of you know there is a difference between the way men look in the mirror and women look in the mirror? When a dude looks in the mirror, I'm not going to pick on nobody but me. I look in the mirror and I go, I'm not that fat. I still got some hair. I still got some muscles. I still got, it ain't bad. How many, every dude in here does the same thing. I ain't lying. Every dude. I don't look that old. I'll even ask Michelle, do I look that old? That lady looks old and she's my age. Do I look that old? Michelle will go, you don't want to know. Like, shut up, woman. I don't say that to her. I do not. So if you're a man, take note. Don't say that. Anyway, all right, moving on. But listen to this. Listen to this. A woman will walk up to a mirror and go, ooh. Seriously, I see it all the time. She goes, oh, what happened? I mean, they'll block it up, chalk it up, pull it up, strap it up, paint it up, whatever. Come on, y'all know what I'm saying? They go to extremes to make things work. Where a dude will walk in front of a mirror and go, it ain't bad. A chick walks up in front of a mirror and goes, oh my Lord, can you believe? And then they'll ask you crazy questions like, what do you think of the shoes? I'm not even talking about the shoes. I ain't even going there. I'm not even participating in the trap. It's a trap. My point is, men are more like God in grace, not in general. Oh, my word, I can hear somebody going, oh, you just said men are God. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is whenever a man walks in and looks in the mirror, he doesn't pick out every flaw, whereas a lady walks up to the mirror and immediately starts picking. I was thinking about it like this. I got one of these not because I'm getting older, but I got one of these because we were building models a few weeks ago for 4-H, and in light of that, I noticed that the model pieces are getting much smaller. I guess the China people are getting smaller, so the pieces are getting smaller. Some of you will get the joke whenever you get home. So I got one of these things to help us glue the pieces together, and as I'm doing that, I was thinking about this magnifying really is like the law in a lot of ways. It magnifies imperfections. That's what it does. I mean, for example, maybe this, you can't identify with this. I was thinking of, these are God forbidden things. You should never do this. I was walking through the store, just Macy's down in Indy, just the other day. And I walked up to this mirror. And did you know there are mirrors that like, there's a mirror and then you like flip it and it like magnifies like 100-fold. And then you flip it again, it's like 2,000-fold. Like wham! It's like, holy cow, back down, bro. Because every time you flip it, it magnifies it more, and you see more imperfections. So, you know, at 50 foot, you're like, that's not bad. I mean, you blow that thing up 2,000-fold, you're like, oh, it's a monster. Anybody know what I'm saying? Can I tell you, that's exactly what the law does. The law, see, watch this. People think I'm going to please God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do God. And I'm going to keep all the commandments and I'm going to do all that. The problem is every time you say I'm going to live for God by the law, it flips over and magnifies. And then it flips over again and magnifies it even more. Because the purpose of the law is not to make you right in the eyes of God. The purpose of the law is to magnify your imperfections so that you see you can't save yourself. So that you see you need a Savior who died 2,000 years ago on a cross. You'll root yourself in Him and not in yourself. Isn't that powerful? Yes. Powerful, absolutely. See, you'll never look at a mirror the same. Like, Pastor Charlie was white, bam. How many of you have seen those magnified mirrors? Why would you buy that thing? You women are a trip. Women are a trip. You go to those places that pluck your eyebrows. I tried that once with a tweezer. That stinking hurts, man. I mean, that's like, you know, waterboarding. That's what we ought to do to terrorists. We ought to strap their heads down and start plucking their eyebrows. Tell us, where's Osama? Tell us. We'll pluck it. Pluck! Ah! Tell you, I see Michelle, I'm way off where I'm going, but I see Michelle doing that one day. I seriously, because she plucks, and I'm like, she just said, I'm like, how hard can that be? I'm like, ow, crap, that hurt. Why would you do that? That's crazy. It's self-inflicted pain, whatever. Maybe that was the purpose here. If I do this, he'll go in there and do that. Oh, that was bad. All right, so how many of you hear me on that part right there? How many of you don't even know what we're talking about now? The law makes all guilty and increases the knowledge of sin. How many of y'all with that? It absolutely does. All right, here's number two. The law strengthens sin in your life. By preaching don't, you actually yoke yourself to it. And let me show you something. This is so powerful. Let me give you a verse, and then I'll go there. 1 Corinthians 15:56. For the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the what? Is the law. Look at this. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the what? You were made this way. The sinful passions aroused by the law. Say, Pastor Charlie, I don't get it. Check this out. Let's say you own a shop and say the front of your building is completely glass. And people walk by that. Let's say 50,000 people walk in front of your building all day. Let's see what would happen to your glass window if we put a big rock out there and we put on the window in big letters, please do not pick up big rock and break the front glass. You know there's going to be some knucklehead 18-year-old with no job walk by and go, you know what? I've been by this window 50,000 times. I never even noticed how big that window was. I didn't even notice the rock until someone told me about it. I think I'm going to pick up this rock and I think I'm going to heave it into that window. Why? Well, I don't know. Have you ever talked to people like that? Why did you do that? I don't know. Right? I don't know. Take little kids. I got nieces and nephews that are little. Set them in a room, my office. We got models and different things. I can tell them, you can play with everything in the room. Just don't touch this model. Just don't touch that. I come back 3 minutes later. Guess what? Uncle Charlie, it crashed. I don't know what happened. Oh, nothing is touched but that. It's destroyed. How did that happen? How? How did that happen? How many of you got kids? Hey, honey, do whatever. Don't touch that. Am I right? Listen to it. That's the way the law is. The law does that. It provokes that in you. It provokes that in you. See? You were made that way. You don't realize that you were provoked. The law. Now watch. Is the law evil? Is me telling my nieces, don't touch that, is that evil? No. Do not break glass, is that evil? No. What's evil? What's wrong? Sin is on the inside of us, the sin nature. And when we hear don't, immediately our sinful nature says yes. Don't you talk to me like that. Oh, yeah? Come on, how many of y'all hear what I'm saying? Don't. Our culture's rampant with it. Don't you act like this. Oh, yeah? Don't you drive like, oh, yeah? You'll be driving down the road going, oh, law. The law. Yeah, you're under the law over there. I'm going to pray for you from over here. Look at it. He goes, so... when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to what? Death. But now we have been delivered from the law, been delivered from pleasing God through works and commandments, having died to what we were held by so that we should serve in the newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Watch this. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. The law makes you and allows you to know I'm sinful. So how many of you know it is powerful? And it should be used. Should be used. Should be used. I'll give you an example of this real quick. Jesus speaking. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? Immediately your ears should perk up. When I say, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? Y'all hear that? What good thing must? Hear the focus? The focus is not 2,000 years ago on a cross, Jesus dying. The focus is I, this man. I could have been in this meeting and told him, uh-oh, it's not going to be good. Jesus is going to plow you up. So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one's good, but one, that is God. Immediately, bam, Jesus bringing him. Why? Because he's self-righteous. He's not God-righteous, he's self-righteous. There's a difference. You can't be self-righteous and God-righteous. You're either self-righteous or God-righteous. If you're God-righteous, then you recognize, hey, listen, it is what it is, pal. If you're self-righteous, I am all that. But if you want to enter into eternal life, keep the commandments. Watch this. And he said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you should not murder, you should not commit adultery, you should not steal, you should not bear false witness. Says, you should not honor your father and your mother, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Watch this. And the young man said to him, all these things I have kept. If that was true, we wouldn't need Jesus because you would have fulfilled the law. What do you think Jesus is about to say to this home slice? He's going to use the law. He's going to point out the one flaw in the man's life. One flaw. That's what the law always does. Magnifies, yokes you to what you've sinned in the area. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in earth and come and follow me. Why did Jesus say that? What is the first commandment? You shall have no other gods before me. Is that not the first commandment? Jesus said, you brag about all these that you keep? Let me rattle off the first one and see how you do. Bam, guilty. Yeah, homeboy left sad. Why? Because he came self-righteous and the law brought him to a place of humility. That's what the law does. It breaks you. Everybody get that? All right, so number three, if you're taking notes, the law is the ministry of sin and death. That's why we don't preach it here. That's why we don't live by it. We don't live by works. We live by faith in Christ and Him alone, right? Listen to this. I've actually had people tell me, well, I'll get to that in 2 seconds here. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at Moses' face because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. Notice this. The ministry of death. Ministry of death engraved on stones. He calls the ministry of the Ten Commandments the ministry of death. Look at this. How will the ministry of the Spirit be much more glorious? Watch this. The ministry of condemnation. Hi, welcome to our church. Come out and join us four times every weekend. We have the ministry of death and condemnation going on every week. I've actually heard people say that. Every time I go out there, man, it's like a happy place. It's like good. It's like, you know, and I just want to leave church feeling condemned. You know what they're used to? They're used to the ministry of condemnation and death. And that's not what frees people to live for God. Praise God. Preach on, Pastor Charlie. I will. I'm happy about it. I really am. For the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. The ministry of righteousness, that's what I preach here. The ministry of righteousness. I'm going to give you one more verse and then one statement and we're done. For if by the trespasses of one, that's who? Adam. By one. How many of you believe Adam jacked it all up for us? Okay. Now watch. That's a powerful thing. Because if you can grab a hold of that, then you should be able to grab a hold of the other. Do not answer the question. Are you a sinner or are you righteous? Don't answer. Don't answer. Are you a sinner or are you righteous? Here it is. Look at it. For if by one man's trespasses, Adam, death reigned through the one Adam. Much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness, free gift, reign in eternal life. That word eternal is Zoe, redeemed life from the penalty of sin. Every time we see eternal, we think heaven. Eternal means Zoe, I've taught on it before, and it means redeemed life. It means something like abundant life, which is a great name for a church, by the way, but redeemed abundant life. All right? Says, in eternal life through the one Jesus who? Christ. Now watch this. Next verse, amplified. Listen to it. Now, so far, what do we got? We got the fact that Adam jacked it all up, but the gift is not like, it's greater than what Adam did. That's what we got out of that verse. Look at this. This is so important. So then, as through one trespass, Adam's sin. Everybody get to that? All right, there resulted in condemnation for all men. How many of you would agree with that? Yeah. Even so, through one act of righteousness. How many acts of righteousness? One. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, dying on a cross. There resulted in justification of life to all men. For just as through one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so through the obedience of the one man, many will be made righteous and acceptable to God and brought into right standing with him. Here it is. You ready? Adam, if you can grab a hold of the fact that he jacked it up for all of us, then he says, then listen. If you can grab a hold of the idea that Adam ruined it, then surely you can grasp the idea that Jesus died and his act now has made you and I righteous in his eyes, not because you, but because he did it. Just like Adam's sin affected your world, Jesus' act of righteousness changed your world. Amen? I like to say it this way. What Adam jacked up, Jesus fixed up. It's just Charlie, man. That's just how I talk. It's not proper English, and I did get doctored in Bible college, but I like it like that. But that's the truth. What he messed up, Jesus made right. So now get this. You are right with God, not because of what you did, just like you were made a sinner, not because of what you did, but because you were born after Adam. Now you've been made right because you're born again after Jesus. So I'm going to ask you now, and you can answer. Are you a sinner or are you righteous? You're righteous. Please do not tell people you go to Abundant Life Church and tell them you're a sinner. You have been made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. To say you are not righteous is to say that Jesus did not finish what he came to accomplish. But he did finish what he came to accomplish. Praise God. Last thought. Now I let you go. Not because I'm done, but because I got to shut up. You would think after four services I'd get tired of this, wouldn't you? I don't. It's the problem. I love it. Check this out. It's a powerful thing that we saw in the staff, Zach and I were talking about. Under law, God requires. If you petition God under the law, God always demands more. It's the law. It requires. You're required to. Under grace, God provides. God provides. He took care of it. So watch this. Let me show you how this affects you practically. Under law, God requires. Okay, so if I'm going to pray for my healing, then I have to pray harder. I got to pray longer. I got to fast. And again, nothing wrong with those disciplines. Please don't misunderstand. But at the root of that understanding is I. When the focus is I, you're missing him because he died on the cross 2,000 years ago. He was perfect. He fulfilled righteousness, and your answer is in him. Amen? Your answer is him, not you. I got to this. No, what do you do? If you're going to pray for healing, you say, Father, I thank you that 2,000 years ago, you sent your son Jesus, died on the cross. He paid for my sin. He paid for my sickness, and I'm thankful because I believe for your healing, and I know you're healing me. Yeah, that's how you pray. It affects the way you do everything. I've heard one verse for years. And again, watch it. Just hear my heart. I'm not against this verse. I'm not. But so many times I hear it and I'm like, oh, what a shame. And again, I know either by way of the web or by way of radio, somebody's going to have a beef with this. But I don't care. The Bible says what it says. Here it is. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I've heard that verse forever. All right? They even use it for the National Day of Prayer. And again, I'm not here to pick a fight. Kinda. But it says this. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, then I will forgive their sins, and then I will heal their land. Right? Let me ask you this. What's the focus of that verse? You all know it. You've been here ever. You know it. The focus is where? God's requiring because it's under the law and it's you doing it. So then if God doesn't send revival then heal your land, then you're like, well, I must not be praying enough. I must not be doing this enough. I got to go back to doing more. What a shame. Say, but Pastor Charlie, doesn't that scripture apply? Absolutely. Let me show you how. If my people, Jesus, who's called by my name? Jesus. Will humble themselves. That's what Jesus did. He will pray. He prayed. If he will do it, because he fulfilled the law. He fulfilled that verse. He did it all. Then, I'm the beneficiary because I stand in righteousness. He will forgive their sins. I'm forgiven. And he will heal their land. Our land's healed. If we'll walk in it. I said, if we'll walk in it. Yeah. He's already provided. See, you hearing it? Grace. He's already provided it. We have to walk in it, though. Yeah. Say, Pastor Charlie, has God forgiven you? Absolutely. Has God forgiven you? Absolutely. Do you have to do something for that forgiveness? Absolutely not. Matter of fact, if you think you need to do something for it, you're working under the law, and you're a debtor to keep the whole law. But if you think you just believe on him who died 2,000 years ago and what he did, and you know that that is what makes you whole, then you're under grace. So every blessing I have flows under grace. God's blessing my life, not because I'm good, not because I'm great. I am righteous, not because I'm righteous, but because he died to make me righteous. I'm sorry if you don't like my righteousness. It's not mine anyway. He gave it to me. I'm sorry. How many of y'all hear my heart? How many of you are blessed? Give the Lord a big clap. Praise God.